الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا ومطاعنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال تعالى بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذ أخذ الله ميثاق النبيين لما آتيتكم من كتاب وحكمة ثم جاءكم رسول مصدق لما معكم لتؤمنن به ولتنصرنه، قال أأقررتم وأخذتم على ذلكم إصري، قالوا أقررنا، قال فاشهدوا وأنا معكم من الشاهدين. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، ورواه الإمام أحمد رحمه الله في مسنده: أنا دعوة أبي إبراهيم وبشرى عيسى عليهما السلام. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم: ورؤيا أمي التي رأت، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. ولقد أحسن القائل: في كتاب الزبور وصفك يتلى، وفي لوح التوراة نعتك يملى، وفي الإنجيل قد صح نقلا، ما بشرت ما مضت فترة من الرسل إلا بشرت قومها بك الأنبياء عليهم الصلوات من الله والتسليمات. أبان مولده عن طيب عنصره، يا طيب مبتدأ منه ومختتم، يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Let every one of us recite درود شريف. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وسندنا وحبيبنا ومطاعنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. And remember, we sending salutations to the greatest of Allah's creation. There is no creation of Allah greater than Him. Imagine in Surah Ali Imran, that's chapter 3 of the Quran, verse number 81, Allah says, Allah took a pledge with every Nabi. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ. Allah took this ahd, this pledge with every Nabi. Now I want you to see in the translation of the Quran that you have, verse number 81. Allah took this pledge with every Nabi. لَمَا آتَيْتُكُم مِّن كِتَابِي وَحِكْمَةِ. That what I have given you from wisdom, from prophethood, from the book. ثم جاءكم. Allah is saying to the Anbiya, then when He comes, a Nabi who conforms and confirms with what you have brought, you support him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you emulate him, you follow him, his guidance, his teachings, his prophethood. Whose prophethood? Whose Nabi Hazrat Adam alaihi salam is told about? Which Nabi Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam is told about? Which Nabi Hazrat Musa alayhi salam is told about? Sulaiman, Dawood alayhi musallawatu min Allahi wa taslimat. Every Nabi is told. This is in this verse, chapter 3, verse 81. Every Nabi is told about our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's beloved said, this is in Musnadul Imam Ahmad, I am the fulfillment of the dua of my father, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ana da'watu Abi Ibrahim. I am the good news Jesus came with. Bushra Isa. Isa alayhi salam told the people about me. And when my mother gave birth to me, she saw this vision and this nur emanate from her belly, from her womb. And from this nur, she even saw the palaces of the lands of Sham. Where was Sham? Sham was the center, was the most powerful land of the Romans, and the Romans were the superpower of the time. Allah's beloved is coming into this world, and already his mother is seeing this vision sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the first discussion is, there were so many who were awaiting Allah's beloved prior to his arrival. I want to mention a few incidents to you just before Allah's beloved came into this world. Number one, one of the very, very effective events that happened is the surah that we read, surah 105. Who can tell me which surah is surah number 105? Who can tell me? We read it in the Salah. Surah 105. Anyone can say. Which chapter of the Quran? What did you say, Haji? What did you say, Haji? You said it? Did you say Surah Fil? Correct. That's 105. Now in the Quran Kareem, there's 114 chapters. The last 10 are greatly concerning the Seerah Mubarakah of our beloved, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, telling us prior to his arrival. So in this discussion, I want to mention chapter 104 and 103. Because we read these surahs all the time in our salah. But do we connect in salah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Chapter 103 reminds us of four duties that every Muslim has. And if we don't carry out those four duties, the Quran Kareem states we are losers. We are in total destruction. Later on, you ask me, what are those four do's? Then 104 are the four don'ts. When we do the do's, Allah will save us from the don'ts. And when we do the do's and we stay away from the don'ts, then Allah will protect us and help us make Allah's deen our purpose. Otherwise, 102, Al-Hakum al-Takathur. We will chase. Takathur is dunya me kaseer. We will want a lot, hankering, chasing behind this world. And it will alert us from our purpose. So chasing behind this world will keep us away from our goal. Al-Hakum al-Takathur. And we'll only wake up from this drunkenness. Hatta zurtumul maqabir. Allah says, until you enter that grave. But then it's too late. So Allah says, do the do's and stay away from the don'ts. We're going to come back to that. Then Allah tells us about the seerah of the greatest. Allah says to His beloved, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alam tara. Did you see? But it also means, do you know of? You know why? Because this event is happening 50 days prior to his arrival in this world. He was still in his mother's blessed womb when this event happened in the world. We're from the land of Yemen, hailed a very tyrannical ruler. He was very oppressive and he wanted authority. And due to that position he had jealousy for the Kaaba. He affiliated himself to Christianity. Prior to him, who ruled those lands was the Jewish king. That is in Surah Buruj of the Quran Kareem. And then he tried to assassinate the Muslims. And then there was one young man. Read this incident in Riyadus Salihin. And in the explanation of Surah Buruj, you'll see about a young man whose worry was to bring the whole country to Islam, to the correct teachings of truth. And he gave his life for humanity to get guidance. Then Allah eradicated the Zionist Jew from that land. Then Allah gave the Christians an opportunity. Under Abyssinia, his name was Abraha, he marches to the Kaaba to eradicate the Kaaba. And we know the whole event that happened there. Allah is showing his qudra. Oh my beloved, do you know of the event? كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ. How your Rabb dealt with the army of the elephants, bi ashabil fil, alam yaj'al kaydahum fi tadlil. Didn't your Lord Allah nullify their endeavors, their plots? And Allah unleashed against them, wa arsala alayhim tayran ababil. The beloved of Allah was not born at this time, but Allah is saying, oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your Allah protected Kaaba. Interestingly, the Quran Sharif doesn't say, the Lord of the Kaaba protected Kaaba. Allah said, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Allah protected Kaaba. In this Mufassirin write, it's a clear indication that Allah protected Kaaba, not because of Kaaba, because of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is greater than the Kaaba Sharif. He is greater than any of Allah's creation. The greatest of Allah's creation. Ya sahib al-jamali wa ya sayyid al-bashar. من وجهك المنير لقد نور القمر. لا يمكن الثناء كما كان حقه بعد از خدا بزرگ تو ہی قصہ مختصر. Oh, the beloved of Allah, where we can praise you? Where do we start? يَا طِيبَ مُبْتَدَئٍ مِّنْهُ وَمُخْتَتَمِي. Such a sublime creation of Allah. He says, the culmination, the crux of the matter is, after Allah in greatness, there's none like you, O the beloved of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Allah protects Kaaba. Then this whole event happened. Clearly, Allah protected Kaaba because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to come into the world 50 days later. But his father passed away in that interim. Allah took a great task from his father, who was a pure man, in this way that he never perpetrated zina. Even when a Jewish woman who had spirituality and she could see the light shining from his forehead, approached him, enticed him, made herself seductive for him. He refused. He says, if you want me to wed you, I would. Not out of wedlock. أَمَّا الْحَرَامُ فَالْمَمَاتُ دُونَهُ. These were the words of the father of the beloved of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And few months later, when she met him, she says, you know, something is different. The light you were carrying is deposited in your wife's womb. And that was Amina binti Wahab. The beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came into this world, yes, Allah took his father prior to that. Allah took his mother thereafter. When he was 8, Allah took his grandfather. But around this time, there were people looking for the truth. When Abdul Muttalib went to Yemen to congratulate one of the rulers of Yemen, his name was Saif the Yazan. Saif, the king, called him and said, I want to meet you later on in privacy. Bismillah. He said, we learn that the final messenger of Allah from the Quraysh, Allah will take away his father, then his mother. He'll grow up with his grandfather, and then his grandfather will go. It seems that you the one. Explain yourself. The king of Yemen knew. There was a man by the name of Zayd bin Amr bin Nufail. He also, him and Waraqa bin Nawfal used to travel the length and the breadth of the lands looking for the truth prior to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They go to Alexandria, they go to Persia, they go to Syria. Syria is Roman lands, looking for the description of the final Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One trip, Zayd, remember his name, Zayd bin Amr bin Nufail. He meets this scholar. The scholar says, you have come here. The final Nabi of Allah is clearly described in the books. His birth will be Makkah. Muhajaruhu bi Tayba. The land he'll migrate to is Medina. Known at that time, described in the previous scriptures as Tayba. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described Medina as Tayba, Taba. Arabs refer to it as Yathrib. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed the name Yathrib because it had evil connotation. So Zayd then journeys to Makkah to meet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. En route, hijackers captured him, tortured him, took everything he had. He was made to lay on the side of the road in the desert, alone with none to help him. But he made dua that, oh Allah, you know I'm returning to Makkah. Because this was a good man, Zayd bin Amr bin Nufail. Look at his qualities. He used to see the mushrikeen slaughter the goat, the ewe, by the Kaaba. He'll tell them, how could you? Allah made you, Allah made the sheep, Allah created the goat, Allah created this camel for your benefit, and you taking other than his name and you sacrificing it? How dare you? رَبَّا وَاحِدًا أَمْ أَلْفُ رَبٍ أَدِينُ إِذَا تَقَسَّمَتِ الْجُدُودُ تَرَقْتُ اللَّاتَ وَالْعُزَّى جَمِيعًا كَذَلِكَ يَفْعَلُ الْجَلَدُ الصَّبُورُ. He would say to them, Allah made everything. You want to worship other than him? Allah made all of this that you are sacrificing in others' names. How dare you? I denounce what you are doing. He used to receive torture. Look at a good man. His own cousin Khattab used to torture him, kick him out of Makkah. He tolerated. Then, when they used to receive daughters, he would visit them. Please, don't kill this child. She's a creation of Allah. She's not a blemish. She'll be an honor for you. They would say, never, this is a disgrace. She's a shame. He would offer to bring up these children. Zayd, little girls grew up in his home. He was showing ihsan upon these girls. Another sahabi who did this, who got to meet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam later on, his name was Sa'sa'a bin Najiyah radiyallahu anhu. Years later, he came to meet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he asked, oh Allah's Nabi, will Allah reward me for this quality that I carried out? And Allah's Nabi heard his karguzari on how he saved these girls. Allah's beloved cried and said, this is why Allah gave you hidayat. There's good people out there in the world who carry out good services to humanity. And Allah make it a means of their hidayat. Only Allah can give hidayat. Even our dawat can't give hidayat. We can do nothing. Allah is the doer of everything. We have to give dawat so that we got an answer on judgment day. That Allah, we tried to tell the people about you. We tried to tell the people about your beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But hidayat is only in the hands of Allah. Zayd is dying on the side of the road. Look at his dua. Ya Allah, such an amazing opportunity you're not allowing me. It can only happen if you gave this opportunity to me. Ya Allah, in kunta haramtani min hadha al-khayr, fala tahrim minhu ibni sa'idan. Ya Allah, if you're not going to give me this opportunity to meet your beloved, because I've studied and I've learned now from your previous books and scriptures that he's to hail in Mecca. If you're not allowing me, Ya Allah, I beseech of thee. As he's dying, he's making this dua, a father's dua. Respected Ummah, we have to cry to Allah for humanity's children and for our children. The forces of batil are trying to take them away. And really one lesson of life, if we're not going to invite to Allah our children, our people, our homes, in our businesses, if we're not going to invite to Allah, guaranteed we're going to be invited all the time by everything around us. All the temptations around us are inviting all the time. When we're going to invite, Allah is going to give us strength. Inviting to Allah will protect our iman, our children's iman, our progeny's iman. And dua, when we're not with our children and we're not with the ummah, like our brothers in Gaza, make dua. Ask Allah. You met someone at work, make dua for them. Allah give them hidayah. You met one young man astray, make dua for them. Instead of criticizing, mocking, cursing, laughing, belittling, scoffing, make dua. Allah's beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave everyone dua. Yeah, he makes dua. When we're not with our children, give them dua. Tell Allah about them, to help them, to guide them, to protect them. And when we're with them, tell them about Allah. When we're with our families, when we're with our children, tell our children about Allah. And when we're not with them, tell Allah about them all the time. That Allah save their iman. How many are losing their iman? The temptations are increasing and on a rise all the time. He says, Allah, if you're not giving me this opportunity, please Allah, don't deprive my son, Sa'id. So I'm going to ask you about his son just now. Who's his son? And I want to see who knows. If you're doing ta'lim in the home, definitely you're going to know who's the Sa'id. He passed away. In Makkah Mukarramah now, as he was, there were many others as well. They were trying, they were looking for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Allah gave them the opportunity. People who had good hearts. Even Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha, when she was sitting one day with other friends of hers, women folk, one scholar passed and mentioned about the arrival of the final Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She says, my friends laughed and scoffed. What Hazrat Khadija did? She says, I made dua. That Allah, if you give me the opportunity, I will serve your beloved. See how Allah does. Allah made it that she became the wife of the greatest of Allah's creation. And on her deathbed, Ya Allah, she's telling her daughters, because they were worried, why she's crying. She says, I'm crying because I wish I could have done more. I wish I could have served my beloved, the beloved of Allah, more. That's why, what she didn't do for Allah's deen. She was the backbone of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's efforts. Everyone would say no, Allah's beloved would say yes. Everyone would say no, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha would say yes. She used to also get scoffed at and mocked at. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was inviting all the men to Islam. Hazrat Khadija was inviting all the women to Islam. She was telling them, many women embraced Islam at her hands. Among them was the mother of Hazrat Ali, a woman that we seldomly mention. Hazrat Ali's mother was such a special woman, Allahu Akbar. Her name was Fatima also. She was among the earliest Muslims. Because she grew up Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Abu Talib, subhanallah. Really, when we learn the incident of Abu Talib, it should bring a lot of emotion to our heart. It's such a sad event. He was a man who used to say to the Meccans, you can never touch my nephew. They tried everything to get Abu Talib to forsake Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know what Abu Talib used to say? He used to say, over my dead body. He says, my body, my children's bodies, my wife's body, my family's bodies will be heaped. You have to climb over them to reach my Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Otherwise you can never touch him. Over my dead body. He would say, oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, carry on, give your dawat. Fasda' bi amrik lam tusibka ghadavatun walaqad sadaqta wa kunta qablu amina lawla al-malamatu aw hidhara masabbatin lawajadtani samahan bidhaka mubina. And then in his poem he says, وَنُسْلِمُهُ حَتَّى نُصَرَّعَ حَوْلَهُ وَنَذْهَلَ عَنْ أَبْنَائِنَا وَالْحَلَائِلِ. He says, only when you have killed me, I will still protect him. You'll have to climb over our bodies to reach him. And then we think, Ya Allah, you've made us Muslim. Do we deserve this gift of deen, this gift of iman? You've made us Muslim. How thankful should we be to you, O Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, for this gift. Another very interesting event is that of a man by the name of Umayyah bin Abi Salt. Umayyah bin Abi Salt lived prior to the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he lived into Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life. He came from Taif. He was a poet. It comes in the hadith that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard his poetry and wished, Ya Allah, only you can give hidayat. He used to come to Quraysh and ask about each one. Then he told Abu Sufyan, who wasn't a Muslim yet, tell me about Utbah. Because Utbah's qualities conform with the qualities of the final Nabi of Allah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, everything seems so, but his age. Then subhanallah, when it was Allah chose our Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest of Allah's creation, Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu went to Umayyah. See, he's the one. Umayyah says, you know, now it's too late for me. I already told the people, I am that final prophet. What will the lady say? What will the woman say? What deprives a person from so much of good? What deprives many non-Muslims from embracing Islam? And sadly, what deprives many Muslims from improving and becoming better? Many won't sit in the mashura. You know why? Shaitan puts it in the brain. What the people will say? Many won't want to go for 3 days. What people will say? Many won't want to dress in sunnah. What people will say? This is the most dangerous, deadly weapon of the devil. To remind us about people and then we forget. What about Allah? Don't we have to be concerned about what my Allah has to say? Because when I die, I'm going to enter my grave alone. I'm going to stand before Allah alone. I'm going to answer to Him. I remember a couple coming to my home, elderly. They said, you know, we want to be Muslim. Because last week, we attended this burial of a Muslim sister who was Hindu and she embraced Islam. And then to all the people there, y'all said that this ma was wise. And why she was wise? We all worry what everyone has to say. She put forward what Allah has to say. Now she has returned to Allah. Allah will take care of her. We don't want to change our life considering what everyone has to say. When we die, they're all going to put us into that pit and then neglect us and leave us. Why should we worry about them? Rather, we be concerned about the Creator. So this couple, Indian couple, they embraced Islam. Alhamdulillah. Just that little reminder, that realization dawned upon them that we have to worry about what Allah has to say. Leave what the world has to say. Put Allah first. Put Allah first. Allah is our goal. Allah is our purpose. In this, Umayyah then, after Badr, he mustered up the courage. He was coming to Medina to meet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then one of the mushrikeen, Shaitan whispered in his heart to tell Umayyah, you know who's buried in the pit here? Utba, Shayba, Walid, Abu Jahl, so and so. He said, what? The people I love? That hindered him. Oh, now I'm not going to Medina. He went back to Taif and he died on kufr and shirk. Only Allah can give hidayat. There was a man by the name of Subair bin Bata. There was no one who could describe Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam better than him. And when Allah's beloved was sent, he said, no, it can't be him. And he went to the scriptures and he wiped out and he tore the descriptions of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam out of the scripture. Then there was another. His name was Abu Amir. He was known as the rabbi. He was an Arab. But he joined the Jewish community so much because the Jews were awaiting Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why they were in Medina. So this was the first event I want to tell you. Now Abu Amir was in Medina. He was in Medina. And he knew Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's descriptions by memory, verbatim. And he used to say, the final Nabi of Allah comes with the truth. Total inclination and belief in one Allah. And denouncing all other deities. That's called Hanifiya. When Allah's beloved came to Medina Munawwara, one rabbi with others came to meet Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who was that? Who came to meet Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? With a lot of respect and love. Who can tell me his name? His name was? One was Zayd, correct? Zayd ibn Sa'na radiallahu anhu. He didn't come just to meet, he came to examine Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's qualities. If it conforms with the description of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his book. But the one who came with the greatest amount of zeal and enthusiasm right in the initial stages was none other than Husayn bin Salam, who Allah's beloved named Abdullah bin Salam. He was the chief rabbi of Medina Munawwara. He hails from the offspring of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. So I'm going to come to his incident just now. So the first point I wanted to mention, prior to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was known to the world. Not only every Nabi of Allah spoke about him, many, many were looking for him, awaiting him. That's what made the Sahabi who lived the longest life in this world journey from Persia to come to Rome. In Sahih Bukhari, he says, I went to over 10 teachers, 10 and some odd, up to 15, 16 teachers, spending 5 to 6 years by each scholar. Sometimes 15, 20 years by each one. Studying the truth. And finally his teacher describes the beloved of Allah to him that now the time has come where the final Nabi of Allah is to come into this world. There's no one else left on truth in this world. And then Medina Munawwara is described to this Sahabi. Who can tell me this Sahabi's name? His name was originally Madha bin Budhikshan. And Allah's beloved named him, correct Amisab, Salman radiyallahu anhu. Allah prolonged his life. How long? 250 years. No fabrication. It's sahih. 250 years Allah prolonged him. Hafiz Yusuf, you know. 250 years Allah. The longest living sahabi. Not the last sahabi to live in this world. Because he lived long prior to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time. The beloved of Allah came into this world on a Monday. Either it was the 9th or the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal. And coinciding with the 20th or the 21st of April, 571 years after Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Another very pertinent event I want to discuss with you that also happened in this month. It was, subhanallah, the hijrah. Where Allah's beloved was inviting everyone to Islam and the Meccans couldn't bear it. So Allah commanded him to leave. So he goes to Hazrat Abu Bakr's house and he was wearing a scarf. Generally the beloved of Allah would wear an imamah. But Arabs, our beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when it was very hot, and especially on this occasion where he was camouflaging also, he would wear a scarf and he covered his face. Mutaqanni'an. And he came to the house of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Because prior to that, they all were surrounding the house of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We all know the incident, isn't it? That is in the month of Safar.
They wanted to assassinate Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said, we all together await his departure from his home. Arabs had that respect. They wouldn't barge into someone's home. Unlike other thieves and hijackers, Allah, the Arabs had this quality. They don't barge in. They wait for you outside. Here, anyway, Allah save us from all these kinds of people. That's why only a'mal can save us. And gush and striving for Allah. And the du'as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught. And salah with congregation and connecting to akhirah. So Allah's beloved left his home. They all were surrounding the home. They didn't even see him. وَجْعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ He entered Hazrat Abu Bakr's home. And he was covered. He mentioned to Hazrat Abu Bakr the plan. And then they exited from a back door from Hazrat Abu Bakr's home towards Yemen. And that was where the cave was, where they hid in. It was a Thursday evening. That Thursday evening, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they stayed in that cave. Who was bringing food for them? Hazrat Asma and Hazrat Aisha were sending the food. Who was bringing information? Hazrat Abu Bakr's son, Abdullah bin Abi Bakr, radiallahu anhu. And Hazrat Abu Bakr's son was coming and going. So he would come late at night and he would depart at Seri time, the end of Tahajjud time. Who would come after him was Amir bin Fuhaira to cover Hazrat Abu Bakr's son's tracks. He would come with the flock of Hazrat Abu Bakr with milk. So the beloved of Allah and Hazrat Abu Bakr could have milk in the evening. And Hazrat Abu Bakr's son would give them reports of what's going on in Makkah. What are they discussing? What's their next move? Then he leaves at Tahajjud time and Amir bin Fuhaira radiallahu anhu departs at the early stages of Fajr called Ghalas. Ghalas is when Fajr just comes in and it's still dark. So he covers the tracks of Hazrat Abu Bakr's son because the Meccans were master trackers. They could read from the footprint who actually treaded on this path. On the final day of departure, which was the first of Rabi'ul Awwal, Amir was to come with a guide. He was the tour guide. He was Dalil from the Dili clan. Who can tell me his name? He was to come. He was a good person. They gave him a fee that you take us to Medina using a camouflaged, suitable route. Who can tell me his name? It's a name you can't forget. You say, brother, he was the fourth individual on this journey of the beloved of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't feel shy. Haji Muhammad, how are you? Abdullah was his name. But he wasn't a Muslim. In Sahih Bukhari, he was on the religion of the Quraysh. He was not a Muslim. But imagine something else interesting. He wasn't a Muslim, but he was a good man. Why was he such a good man? He knew the Quraysh were prepared to pay 100 camels for the head of the beloved of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And he was going to get a small fee from them, but he was a man of integrity. Anyway, he comes with the camels Hazrat Abu Bakr prepared. And Hazrat Abu Bakr says, "Oh Allah's Nabi, you choose." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No, you give. I'll." Hazrat Abu Bakr says, "Oh Allah's Nabi, it's for you." Allah's Nabi said, "No, I have to pay you for it, Abu Bakr." Imagine Allah's beloved wants to pay for his ride to Medina. Why? And this is why we learn from our elders. Go in the path of Allah, not on a free ride. There's no free ride. We have to go with our time. It's very easy for people to say, "I'll give the money." You know, sometimes Allah made some of us tykes, you know. So to give money is very easy because tomorrow also Allah gives other deals and then we forget Allah is the giver. Not innama. Quran warns us, Qarun and others. Twice in the Quran Allah says, "Be careful of those who think and say, this is my know-how, my achievement, my deal, my wit. Innama utituhu ala ilmin indi. I know how. That's how I made so much." That is deadly for our iman. Qarun was a Muslim. He was a master reciter of the Torah. In the Torah he was the best. But he lost his iman because of pride. And the main thing was he's attributing greatness to himself. My know-how, my capability. Allah save us. Here, Allah's beloved said, "I will pay you." Because he's teaching us
Not only give our money in the path of Allah and send others, nor should we say, let someone else pay, but I'm ready to go. Allah's deen, we must go with our time and our wealth. That's the beauty of striving for Allah. Give our wealth for Allah and give our time for Allah. When we give our wealth for Allah, we'll get cured of greed. When we go ourselves personally for Allah and strive for Allah, Allah will cleanse us of pride, and we need to be cleansed from both these spiritual maladies to get salvation in the qabr and in the afterlife. Anyway, then they departed on this journey in this month of Rabi'ul Awwal. And as they traveling, in the Sahih Bukhari, there's a man by the name of Suraqah ibn Malik from the Mudlaji clan. He says, I was in the pub and there's a discussion that ensued. And they're saying, we saw, this is the prize. We heard Quraysh made the announcement. There's a prize of 100 camels for anyone who finds Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr. So someone said, I saw on the coastal route these few individuals. It has to be them. Suraqah realizes it was them, but he didn't want anyone else to get the prize. So he said, those few have undertaken that route because I have sent them there. That's not them. And he continued with the discussion and he quietly sneaked out. He went home, he got his sword and his weapon poisoned, he got his horse ready and he darted in that direction. He was a master of the routes as well. Hazrat Abu Bakr says, I was worried about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So sometimes Hazrat Abu Bakr would walk behind Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sometimes in front of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the Sahih Bukhari, Hazrat Abu Bakr says, what was Allah's Nabi doing? Who can tell me? What was Allah's Nabi doing? Yeah, I think they all have the answers. They just don't want to answer. Allah's beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reciting Quran on the journey. So wherever we go in the world, Allah save us from the sickness of these phones. Everything, every few minutes, see who sent message. Brother, open Allah's kalam. Every few minutes, you got 5 minutes. Even at work, you have 5 minutes. Don't put our hands in the bottom pocket. Take out your Quran Sharif and read a few pages of Allah's kalam. And then see the translation. We're not telling you to deduce masail from the Quran Sharif. It's so beautiful, it's profound. It's about the love of Allah, the afterlife. Whatever you saw from the Quran, share with your friend. Show your colleague. See what Allah is saying. And what you don't understand, for Dhuhr you're going to the masjid, meet Maulana Sahib and ask him. Quran Sharif is not ambiguous like the biblical teachings, which most of which has been distorted. This is preserved, pure, pristine, Allah's kalam. Hazrat Abu Bakr says, the beloved of Allah was reciting Quran while walking and then while riding. Then Suraqah is darting from a distance, and when he spots us, he gallops faster. Allah's beloved just makes dua. Suraqah sinks into the ground. The hooves of his horse sunk into the ground, right till the belly of the horse. And there was a huge, you know, dust flying all over, and it barred him from seeing us. He begged for pardon. He was released. But then his greed overwhelmed him. And he tried the same endeavor the second and then the third time. Then he realized. Then the realization dawned upon him that this is really the messenger of Allah, who's protected by Allah. O messenger of Allah, I'll not harm you. Never. I'll never do it again. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw his sincerity. And Allah, he asked, what can I do for you? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, we don't want anything from you. He says, but I have flocks. My flock is further ahead on this route. Can I make any arrangements for you? He says, no. If you want to do anything for us, then as you return, just block anyone from this route, saying that this road is clear. He says, I'll do that for you. Then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, do you know, one day you will be wearing the crown jewels of the king Kisra. Who was Kisra? The two most profound superpowers of the them day was Kisra and Qaisar. Kisra was the king of Persia. He ruled half the world, the dunya. The other half was ruled by the Roman emperor. But the Persian emperor was more advanced than even the Roman lands. So Suraqah is saying, what are you talking about? Are you talking about Kisra, the son of Hormuz? Kisra is the title of the Persian king. Allah's Nabi says, that's the same one I'm talking about. He was shocked. He said, "Oh Allah's Nabi, I'm going to come to you soon. I want to embrace Islam soon. Can you give me a message and a note that when I come, I have amnesty?" Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to Hazrat Abu Bakr, "Write for him something." And he wrote for him. And now he returns. As he returns to Makkah, subhanallah, the word is the sound resounding in the entire horizon. Scholars actually don't know who was actually saying it. It seems that the angels of Allah were rendering these words. And the other interpretation is it was the jinn who saw the scene, who were rendering these words of poetry, that may Allah reward. May Allah reward that woman on the road who showed kindness to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the word says, "Ya ala qusayyin ma zawallahu ankumu bihi min fi'alin la tujaza wa su'dudi liyahni bani ka'bin maqamu fatatihim wa maq'aduha lil mu'minina bi marsadi salu ukhtakum an shatiha wa ina'iha fa innakumu in tas'alu shata tashhadi." These words resounded, and among the words that came from the unseen said, "O Quraysh, O people of Makkah, how deprived are you? What have you perpetrated from evil practices that Allah took away from you such a profound benefit, a bounty that Allah's beloved was living amongst you? There's something so bad that you did that Allah took this bounty away. Congratulations to the sister," this report says, "maqamu fatatihim, from the scan where she showed kindness to Rasulullah." Who is this referring to? Because Allah's beloved carries on further on the journey, and they stop at one home. Outside this home, there were two tents. This lady had a tuck shop. And any Muslims passing there, because Muslims started migrating from Muharram. This is Rabi'ul Awwal. And she had given out what she had to the Muslims, showing ihsan upon them. And when Allah's beloved arrived there, there was nothing left. So Allah's beloved wanted to purchase from her something, some meat. She had nothing left. Then there was a little ewe in the corner. Allah's beloved asked that, "May I?" She said, "You're not going to get any milk from there, but you can try." The beloved of Allah picked this ewe up and he milked it. And milk came gushing from this little goat. And thereafter, the beloved of Allah sent her son Ma'bad. Her name was Atika Ummu Ma'bad. So Ma'bad brings this bucket and it gets filled. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives his companions and then he sends for her. Then he gives them again. She says, "What he left for us had so much of benefit and ample barakah." Thereafter she says, "Every day we used to milk that ewe, and every day, morning and evening, that ewe used to give us buckets full of milk, a bucket in the morning, a bucket in the evening." Then someone asked her, "But how long did this continue for?" She says, "That was the first year after Hijrah. Even in the 18th year, during Amur Ramada." Amur Ramada was a drought during the Khilafah of Hazrat Umar. During that year, there was drought throughout Arabia. The goat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was still giving us milk morning and evening. That is barakah. When her husband returned, she's telling him, "You know who passed year? You missed out. Marra bina rajulun mubarak, a man with blessings passed year." And she described Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His eyes, his voice, his gait, his speech, his words, his smile, his eyelashes, his eyebrows. Zahirul wada'a, ablajul wajh, lam tu'ibhu thujla, walam tuzri bihi su'la, wasimun, qasimun. In qala, istama'u ila qawli, ansatu li qawli, watabadaru ila amri. She described Allah's beloved so in such a profound manner by just seeing him on one occasion. Alayhi salatu min Allahi wa taslimat. In this, as Suraqa returns, when he comes back to Makkah, Abu Jahl sees him because he hears that you were on that same route and you told everyone not to take that route. You know the words he said to Abu Jahl. He said, "Aba hakamin, wallahi law kunta shahidan لأمر جوادي إذ تسوخ قوائم علمت ولم تشكك بأن محمدا رسول ببرهان فمن ذا يقاوم." Oh Abu Jahl, he addresses him with respect because Suraqa wasn't a Muslim yet. He says, "By Allah, if you only saw how my horse repeatedly sunk in the ground, you would know that what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying without any doubt whatsoever is 100% true and correct. Abu Jahl got very upset with him. But later on, Allah gave Suraqah hidayah. The beloved of Allah reaches a certain area. People knew Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He was quite well known due to business. He was a businessman. This is why I implore the business community, my friend, my brother, my elder, you travel everywhere for business. Change your intention. What business? Make sure it's halal, but also make the intention of da'wah. That every client, every customer, every... Just few days ago we were passing, returning from Hilal, few days ago. And one of the stores, so we met a brother. Look how short-sighted a Muslim can be. So I'm saying to him, uncle, he was repping there. You know, you're repping, you're selling to Muslims. Just take these few and you can share it with a Muslim, encouraging him to share Islam with a non-Muslim. And you can even give your non-Muslim friends, clients. Generally, Muslims are prepared to do that. But this brother, just few days ago, says, what? We got no time to do this. Please, this is not our responsibility. And he gets very, very angry. Then I'm just thinking, Ya Allah, how short-sighted of a Muslim. He got the time to rep and go shop to sell his commodity. But we can't make the time to introduce our Allah and our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to people who want to know. Just today when we stop at the garage for Asr Salah, we make the adhan. How beautiful is the adhan? People are listening. All the people there from all nationalities, Africana, English, Zulu, they want to know. Their curiosity is intrigued. And they want to know more when you speak to them. They're ready to listen. But the thing is, the Muslim has to take out time to... Now, you and I want to duck in one corner. We don't even read the adhan. We just want to make our salah quickly, hit and run. Those are few moments we have an opportunity to share the truth. Call out the adhan. What rewards Allah will give us. The beloved of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you just perform your salah, even in the wilderness, صَلَّ مَعَهُ مَلَكَاهُ, your angels will pray with you. But if you call out the adhan and then your salah, صَلَّ مَعَهُ مِن جُنُودِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يُرَى طَرَفَاهُ, Allah will send so many malaika that if you could see the angels, the ends of the first saf would not be able to be seen by your vision, because of the abundance of the angels of Allah who would attend to perform salah with you through the blessings of the adhan. En route, the beloved of Allah stopped for salah. There was a man approaching. So Allah's beloved greeted him. And this is an amazing strategy. As Muslims, be alert. You're parking your car. It's also good for our safety. And more so, it's good for da'wah. So you looked into your rear view mirror. Make the intention that Allah, who can I give da'wah to? And also for your own safety, it's a good thing. You watched in your rear view, who's seeing? And the person passing, you greet him first. Good morning. Hello. Gunjani. If he had any bad intentions, automatically he would get shaken up because you noticed him. Now this phone is such a sickness. Now you're driving past the traffic cop also. He's not bothered about stopping you because he's more interested in what he's seeing in that diseased, you know, gadget. It's such a disease in the world today. But now others who have evil intentions, you just greet, automatically this person would soften. So there was this individual coming to capture the messenger of Allah on this route as well. So the beloved of Allah greeted him and asked him, what's your name? He said, Burayda, because he was also taken in a shock. So the beloved of Allah said, what a nice name. Oh, Abu Bakr, things are cool. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took good feeling from his name, because Burayda means coolness and calmness, a beautiful ambiance. From which tribe do you hail? He said, Aslami, from the Aslam clan. So the beloved of Allah said to Hazrat Abu Bakr, you know, things are calm. Because Aslam means submission, serenity and calmness. Then Allah's beloved, before he could make his move, Allah's beloved said, we performing a prayer. Why don't you join us? It was Isha Salah. How beautiful. You're going for Dhuhr. Tell your client. You know, Dhuhr is in half an hour. Stall him a bit. For our deal, we know how to stall him. To show him the property, to show him the goods, to make a, you know, strike a profitable deal. Strike the deal for Akhirah in half an hour's time is Dhuhr. So you stall him for 15 minutes, then you take him for a drive, tell him, you know what, I want you to come and pray with me, then I'm going to take you for a lovely Akni, or for a Dalgosh. You make a plan. But now, you brought him to the masjid, you put a nice chair in the corner, tell him, you sit here, you just see how we pray. You show him how we make wudu. You're bringing alive the sunnat of every Nabi,
and the sunnah of every sahabi. Every sahabi did this. Because they saw it in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And every one of us should be bringing new brothers to the masjid every day for dhuhr, for asr, especially for jumu'ah. In surah jumu'ah, Allah says to the ummah, others are coming. O ummah, welcome them. وَآخَرِينَ مِنْهُمْ لَمَّا يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ. Now some might say, no, we go in the location, we feed people some degs of food, and we think, you know, we built our akhirah already. My brother, this is not only to go in the location and feed, that has to carry on. What about the man who bought that expensive car for you? What about the man who is renting your property? What about the man who studied so many years in the university? Few months ago, we just went to the university, we did a presentation on Islam. A lawyer comes forth. He says, you know, I'm very interested. He had a few questions. Over a cup of coffee, he embraced Islam. From there, Amir Sahib, we were going to the Markaz in Joburg. He joined us. In the evening, we asked him, do you want to leave? But we spending the night here. He says, no, I'll join you. That morning, when we were returning to Newcastle, he says, I must tell you, this is not even 2 months ago. He says, this has been the best time I've spent in my entire life. A week later, we phoned him. He says, you know, I'm joining the brothers for 3 days. This is how people are thirsty, especially the intellectuals that you and I are meeting on a daily basis. Allah's beloved says to Burayda, join us. He saw the entire salah. He says, you know what, O Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I came with bad intentions, I've changed. I'm going to my people. I can't keep this to myself. See, dawah starts in sahaba's life. The day they become Muslim, I'm going to call them. If they join me, I'll bring them. If not, I am coming. He goes to give his people dawah. He brings them all. Allah's beloved invited them all to Islam. Quite a few of them embraced. Only Allah can give hidayah. Then he joined Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam as Allah's beloved arrived at Quba. But the next stop, among the many stops, they passed one area. A man's name, he was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's friend. His name was Sa'd. Hazrat Abu Bakr's children used to suckle in that area, like Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam suckled as a child in Banu Sa'd. So this man knew Hazrat Abu Bakr well. Then Allah's beloved asked him, tell us, which is the best route to take on the journey of Hijrah? He expressed the descriptions of the different routes. And one route had some people who were quite known for highway robbery. The beloved of Allah said, take me to them. You know them, take me to them. خُذْ بِنَا عَلَيْهِمَا. The main chiefs of that clan who were involved in hijacking and highway robbery. Allah's beloved went to them, invited them to Islam, spoke to them about Allah. They were so ashamed about their past life. There and then, they became Muslim. And Allah's beloved said, you come to Medina, I will make your ikram. This is the teachings of Islam, with akhlaq, with kindness, with mercy. Give everyone an opportunity. En route, Hazrat Talha bin Ubaidillah was a prominent businessman. Him and Zubayr bin Awam radiallahu anhuma, they were partners. They were returning from Syria with an entire caravan of garments. And they met Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam prior to his entry. So they gifted Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam new clothes. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam took a white kurta, him and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhuma. So he entered Medina Munawwara with a beautiful white kurta. How Allah planned for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah's beloved arrived on the 8th of Rabi'ul Awwal. It was a Monday as well, in Quba. There he stayed in the home of an elderly man by the name of Kulthum bin Hidam radiallahu anhu. And Allah's beloved stayed there for a few days. Some say 14. Preferably, it seems 4 days the beloved of Allah stayed, from Monday right till that Friday. In those 4 days, they established Masjid Quba. And that Friday, the beloved of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam enters Medina Munawwara with his entourage. And the people of Medina Munawwara were coming in abundance to welcome him, to meet him. Everyone wanted Allah's Nabi by them. Everyone. Then Allah's beloved instructed them, leave the reins of my camel. What was the name of the camel of the beloved of Allah? Who can tell me? Hafiz Yusuf, tell the brothers, man. Qaswa. That was the name of this camel. Everyone was trying to grab the camel of the beloved of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Allah's beloved said, leave the camel. And see how he was teaching the importance of family. He didn't want to hurt anyone's feelings. But the camel continued and halted. Now imagine all the Sahaba want this. And as the camel was coming nearer to their area, they were overjoyed. They were hopeful. And as the camel of the beloved of Allah would pass, they would get overwhelmed with grief. But then they would also be enthusiastic to know, where is the camel gonna halt? Imagine the camel halted right on an empty plot. That was the plot to be Masjid al-Nabawi. Because the Muslim's life is masjid, to bring alive masjid. Then the camel got up and took a few steps back, right in front of the home of the great Sahabi. Who can tell me? MashaAllah. Hazrat Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. His name was Khalid. Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu's name was Khalid bin Zayd radiallahu anhu. Abu Ayyub and Ummu Ayyub. He was elated. SubhanAllah. He took the goods of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then there was another Sahabi who was well known for property. He owned quite a bit of property. He says, not far is my property, O Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can I keep your camel for you? Look at, he also wanted the blessings. His name was Haritha bin Nu'man radiallahu anhu. And he took the care of the camel of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the beloved of Allah stayed with Hazrat Abu Ayyub whilst the construction of Masjid al-Nabawi was taking place. Now, in this month, a very interesting event happened. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered the Sahaba in the home of Abu Talha. The Muhajirin, who were Muslims from long, the Ansar, who were new to Islam, and Allah's Nabi made them brothers, so that there's no racialistic practices in Islam, that my nation, my tribe, my color, my language, that is a disease. Allah's beloved, in the final hadith, Imam Tirmidhi brings, culminates his kitab with this hadith. Allah's beloved said, leave the slogans of Jahiliyyah. This is the fuel of hell. What is that slogan? That I am better because my nation, because my color, because of my language. Astaghfirullah. This is hypocrisy. Allah's beloved said, this is the slogan of Jahiliyyah, of paganism. Jahiliyat. Deen teaches, look up towards others. Think others as better than us. Don't look down upon any of Allah's creation, even the non-Muslim, even the sinner. Hope that Allah guide them and make them better. Looking down upon Allah's creation is really despicable, unacceptable in our deen. Never think that we're better than anybody. We should worry that how are we going to stand before Allah. In this was that Jewish rabbi who came to meet Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What was his name? Hazrat Husayn. When he heard Allah's Nabi came, you know what he was reciting? He was busy in his farm. And he heard from the Jewish community. Because they said, Ya Bani Qayla, O the children of Qayla. Who is Qayla? Qayla was the mother, the great grandmother of Aus and Khazraj. Aus and Khazraj had the same father and same mother. Haritha bin Amr was their great grandfather, and Qayla was their great grandmother. So the Jews used to refer to them as the children of Qayla. When he heard the final Nabi of Allah arrived, he left his farm and he started screaming out, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Husayn bin Salam, the Jewish rabbi. His aunt Khalda said, Husayn, come here. Husayn with a sword. What is this? Why is your reaction so? He says, Ma, the final Nabi of Allah has come. So she got very upset with him. She was also Jewish. She says, you know, if Moses had to arrive here, you wouldn't have been so happy. So Hazrat Husayn said, Ma, this is the brother of Hazrat Musa. This is Hazrat Musa's brother. Alayhi salatu wassalam. So she asked him, is he the same one you always would read the prophecies about? He says, Ma, this is the one. And he rushes to meet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, when I saw his smile, I saw his face, I heard his words, I knew these are the words of truth. They can never be the words of a liar. فَلَمَّا إِسْتَبَنْتُ وَجْهَهُ عَرَفْتُ أَنَّ وَجْهَهُ لَيْسَ بِوَجْهِ كَذَّابٍ. And among the initial words of the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, O humanity, first teachings in Medina, أَفْشُ السَّلَامِ.
Make salam to everyone. Brothers, let's bring alive that. What a sunnah. What a sunnah in the life of the beloved of Allah. The foundation of Medina. Make salam to everyone. Why wait for people to make salam to us? Can't we, out of the love of our beloved, because we love Allah first, and then we love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam thereafter, can't we follow his sunnah and say, don't worry if others want to make salam or not. We will make salam. And make salam in a polite way. Not showing a point that you don't make salam. No. Make salam thanking Allah who gave us the opportunity to make salam first. Yes, it's adab that the young make salam to the elderly. That's adab. But our beloved was the most senior of all. He always made salam to everyone first. Do you know, respected Ummah, Hazrat Abu Bakr, the greatest Sahabi. What does Bakr mean? Bakr is a fast, vibrant camel. His name was Abdullah. But why was he titled Abu Bakr? We might say, no, he was the first in the masjid. Correct, he was the first in the masjid. He was in the first saf. He was the first to read the most amount of Quran. But he was also the first to visit the sick. He was also the first to make salam. Sahaba say we could never beat Abu Bakr in salam. He was also the first to ask for maaf. Imagine every one of us make the intention that there has been disunity between us and our siblings, sibling rivalry. For Allah's sake, phone your sister. Send some ikram to her home. Yes, she's someone else's husband. So what? Shaitan wants us to have hatred. You ask for maaf. Be good with your brother-in-law because your sister came from the same stomach as you. Your brother came from the same belly. It doesn't mean the parents have gone. Now there should be hatred. You and I, let us be the first. Make salam for Allah. Send the ikram. It'll remove hatred. It'll remove animosity. Allah's beloved's words. Spread salam. Make ikram. At'imu ta'am. Join ties. Unite for Allah. Join ties. And at night when everyone is asleep, pray for Allah. Your entry into paradise will be guaranteed. تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامٍ. Easy access into paradise. What a prescription the beloved of Allah gave us. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then Allah's beloved loved Hussein. So Allah's beloved changed his name, Abdullah. Then he said, oh Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, my people will blaspheme me, but I want you to invite them to Islam prior to you telling them that I am Muslim. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invited the Jewish rabbis to the home. They sat in Hazrat Abu Ayyub's house. Was quite a large house. And there's a history where the house came from. Because that house was built by a king. The forefathers of Abu Ayyub. Who built it with his name was Tubba Asad. He built that home because he learned from the Jewish rabbis centuries prior about the arrival of the final Nabi of Allah. Look at intention. He built this home with the intention that Allah's beloved will stay here. And even left a letter for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, making the intention that I wish I could even لَكُنْتُ وَزِيرًا لَهُ وَابْنَ عَمْ وَجَاهَدْتُ بِالسَّيْفِ أَعْدَاءَهُ وَفَرَّجْتُ عَنْ صَدْرِهِ كُلَّ غَمْ. The words he left behind saying, if I had this opportunity, I would be the right-hand man serving and making the khidmah of the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. فَلَوْ مُدَّ عُمْرِي إِلَىٰ عُمْرِهِ. Ya Allah, I wish you extend my lifespan and enable me with the opportunity to serve thy beloved. And Allah accepted. The home he built became the home where Allah's Nabi stayed in his initial days in Medina Munawwara, next to the plot of Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In this, when the Jewish rabbis came, khair, you know that incident. But Allah give us tawfiq. Allah's beloved told them about Islam. But most of them, due to hatred, said, no, you're not the one. You're not the one. So what about, who is Hussein bin Salam to you all? They said, he is our most senior scholar. He's from a refined, profound family. His forefathers were people of integrity and knowledge, pure and pristine. So Allah's beloved said, what if he tells you that I am the one? They said, he'll never say that. So Allah's beloved called him. He came out and said, oh Jewish community, I've always recited and taught you of the final Nabi of Allah. He is the one. I give you my word. They said, you know, what a despicable scum are you. You're not the one we were referring to. And immediately they blasphemed him. So afterwards, Hazrat Abdullah bin Salam told Rasulullah, let's see, I told you they'll do this. Allah's beloved was so kind to the Jews in Medina. Subhanallah. There was a Jewish child sick. Abdul Quddus, Sahih Bukhari. The beloved of Allah went to visit him. On his deathbed, Allah's beloved said, young man, read the kalima. The father of the boy was so touched that the king of Medina, for the Jews, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the king of Medina, Manawara. For us, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the king of the whole dunya. And Allah, subhanallah, Allah made it that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's name is enshrined, not only on the arsh of Allah, on the doors of Jannah. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That father was so touched. He said, son, listen to Abu al-Qasim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He read the kalima, that child. He then passed on. Allah's beloved was elated, making shukr that Allah, you used me. Alhamdulillah, alladhi anqadhahu bi min an-nar, to save one soul from hellfire. In this, Abu Umama radiallahu anhu reports that Allah's beloved passed a Jewish family whose child was sick. What an opportunity. You got a friend, you got a colleague, the child is sick, the family member is sick. You go to the hospital, visit, make dua in English. Oh Allah, cure this individual, make it easy for the family. Yes, we go and visit the sick Muslim. But what about the non-Muslim? Is he not the creation of Allah? Is he not the banda of Allah? Is he not the ummati of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? But you see, he doesn't know. He doesn't know the greatest of Allah's creation. Who was supposed to tell him? In this report, this father was reading to his son scriptures of the Torah. So the beloved of Allah in that said to the father and the son, but have you not read in here descriptions of me? The father said, no, we've never read about you in this book. The son in that sickness said, no, O Nabi of Allah, my father speaks untruthfully. We've read about you, your entire description verbatim as you are before us. Every aspect concerning you, your birthplace, your migration lands, every aspect concerning you, we've read. And there and then the child reads the kalima and then he passes on. Allah's beloved calls the sahaba, we will do the janazah for this child. This is how Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed the purpose. Beloved brothers and respected elders. So yes, alhamdulillah, this is my question to you. Who is going to introduce our Allah to the world? Who is going to introduce our Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to the world? There's no one else to do it. This ummah is responsible. In the Quran, Surah Yusuf, ayat number 109. Tell them, O my Nabi. Today when you go home, I want you to see this verse. Tell them, O my Nabi, this is my way. I invite every person to Allah. Every person I invite to Allah. Ad'u ila Allah. With wisdom, with insight. I do this. And every Muslim does the same. Ana wa manittaba'ani. So start off with the people we meet on a daily basis. Who's going to do this, inshallah? Are we all going to try? Who says we're going to try? See, that's very, very important for the benefit of humanity. And then also, in our masjids, there's a fikr taking place in the corner. They're reading the ta'lim. That ta'lim is so important for our education. That one kitab, what a beautiful kitab. The first book in that thick volume is about the sahaba, radiallahu anhum. Then we would have had most of the answers that I asked you today. The first part of that book. The second part is the Quran, virtues of the Quran. The third part is virtues of salah. Then virtues of dhikrullah, things we need in our life. Then virtues of inviting to Allah. Then Ramadan comes, virtues of Ramadan. That we need to join that halaqa in the masjid. So we become better Muslims. And then very importantly, the same kitab we should read where? With our children at home. That would create such a profound environment in the home that our children will start talking to us more politely.
There'd be a bond between father and son. After that halaqa of ta'lim, you'd see the amazing peace and that relationship. Otherwise, the only time children want to come to the parents' home is when the Wi-Fi is switched off. Besides that, you know, they don't want to know anything. Parents have also got no time for the children. This halaqa of ta'lim will seal that bond between parents and children. Otherwise, children are looking for role models. And they're looking for it everywhere. Allah give us tawfiq. We all do this inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan. We have for you these booklets. We got for you the books. But we want you now, you know, some samosas. Now you know your client, your customer, your friend, you know, your neighbor, a plate of samosas with one booklet and you send it next door. Or a nice chocolate. See? Try and support Muslims. See the chocolate Muslims manufacture. The chips Muslims manufacture. The drinks Muslims manufacture. Buy that one. That which is manufactured by the Zionists and those companies that support them. This should be imperative in our homes. This should be the discussion in our homes. That how could we spend in those items? First of all, Allah give us tawfiq to fast more often. Allah give us tawfiq to remember the people of Gaza. Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimahullah, when the areas of Palestine was conquered, he couldn't eat food. At least let's look into the ingredients, number one. Number two, make sure, look in the company that manufactured that item. And subhanallah, our Muslims do everything. Alhamdulillah. So support the Muslim. The Muslim is going to pay zakat. The Muslim is sending his children to become hafiz of the Quran. Support the Muslim. The others are blatantly saying, we are sending to Israel because they love Israel. They don't understand the reality and you and I don't want to talk to them about the reality of what Israel is doing. The oppression following the pattern of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. So this boycotting their goods should be a constant discussion in our home. Motivate our families. Okay, we're going to leave these 5 goods, these 6 goods, these 10 goods. Alhamdulillah, through that Allah will help us live a healthier lifestyle. Just because they manufactured that item, get something else. Even if the taste is not 100%, Allah will give us barakah through that. Will we all try inshallah? الحمد لله رب العالمين صلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله على نيته وسره لك الحمد على نعمك الكثيرة وآلائك الجسيمة التي لا تعد ولا تحصى اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أيد الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها يا رب العالمين في أفغانستان وفي الصين وفي الشام وفي غزة خاصة يا أكرم الأكرمين اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين والمسجد الأقصى يا رب العالمين اللهم صل على روح سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في الأرواح وصل على جسد سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في الأجساد وصل على قبر سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في القبور اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وسندنا وحبيبنا ومطاعنا ومولانا محمد ما اختلف الملوان وتعاقب العصران وكر الجديدان واستقل الفرقدان وبلغ روحه وأرواح أهل بيته منا التحية والسلام وبارك وسلم عليه كثيرا يا الله make us good Muslims يا الله make us people of Iman يا الله give us tawfiq to connect to the masjid ya Allah save us from irtidad save our progenies from irtidad ya Allah save us save our iman ya Allah make us people who are punctual with our salah make us of those who make salam to others make us of those who unite with others for thy pleasure make us of those who remember thee profusely who love thee immensely who serve thee diligently who call to thee wisely sincerely wherever the ummah of your beloved ya Allah is suffering, Ya Allah. Throughout the globe, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, alleviate their pangs, Ya Allah. Help us return to the masjid. Help us return to amal. Help us return to Quran. Help us return to sunnah. Ya Allah, help us stay away from promiscuity and all incorrect behaviors and practices and ideologies, Ya Allah. Help us share your deen with the non-Muslims out there, Ya Allah. So many have never heard about you, Ya Allah. So many, Ya Allah, don't even know the meaning of the adhan, Ya Allah. Help us muster the courage to tell every person about our Allah and about our beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Allah. Help us, Ya Allah, help us imbibe in us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, bring about in us, Ya Allah, the beautiful akhlaq of thy beloved, Ya Allah, of kindness, of of forbearance, of mercy, of character, of salam, Ya Allah, of politeness, Ya Allah. Save us from arrogance, haughtiness, pride. Save us from looking down upon any of your creation, Ya Allah. Save us from mocking, belittling others, Ya Allah. Help us motivate our children that they mustn't mock other children just due to the cars others drive or the poverty that they suffer. Ya Allah, help us be of those who will uplift others, motivate others, love others, Ya Allah, inspire others, Ya Allah. Give us tawfiq, Ya Allah, to respect your creation for your pleasure. And help us inspire our children to do the same. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Ya Rabbi salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habibika khayril khalqi kullihimi. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala sayyidina wa sanadina wa habibina wa muta'ina wa maulana Muhammad. Salatan tunjina biha min jami'il ahwali wal afat. Wa taqdi lana biha jami'al hajat. Wa tutahiruna biha min jami'il sayyiat. ترفعنا بها عندك على الدرجات وتبلغنا بها أقصى الغايات من جميع الخيرات في الحياة وبعد الممات إنك على كل شيء قدير وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين جزاكم الله خير.